Recovery. We're using a acronym, R-E-C-O-V-E-R-Y, and we're going to be dealing with some things. And here again, this is about hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Hurts, every one of us have had hurts and disappointments. Habits, every one of us have habits, good habits and bad habits. And hang-ups, the very thing that keeps us from moving forward in our life. Hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And as we begin to deal with these things in our life through this through these principles that we're going to be sharing with you, I want to see this expand outside the realm of drugs and alcohol. There are people who are addicted to the pornography. There are people who are addicted to other people's approval. There are people who have hang-ups with all kinds of issues in their life. We eat too much. We have low self-esteem. There are so many things that people deal with in their lives that this can help them do that. We do, in Celebrate Recovery, they have several small groups. One is chemical dependency. But another one is codependency. You say, well, I don't know what codependency is. That's where you kind of enable other people to do what they do. And there, we see a lot of people who are enablers, what we call enablers. I see it, parents with their children, a whole lot. So there's something that we can all learn, and I'm not saying you have to go to Celebrate Recovery or you need to go to Celebrate Recovery, but you know, if there's some areas of your life that you know that you need to deal with, we're hoping that this series will help, and Celebrate Recovery is open for those kind of things. It's not just about drugs and alcohol. Don't when you're telling people about Celebrate Recovery, don't say, well, it's that drug and alcohol thing that we have out at the church. No, it's a lot bigger than that. Hurts, everybody say hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And that's something that we all deal with. Last week, we talked about the first part of this, and it was the R. And the word R means realize, realization. Every kind of turnaround, whether we're talking about repentance, no matter what we're talking about, any time that we have a turnaround in our life, it has to begin with a realization. If you're going to change your mind about something, if you're going to change your direction about something, you have to come to a realization that you do have a problem. Now, one of the terms that they use in this is called denial. What is denial? I don't have a problem. My wife has a problem, but I don't have a problem. If Ricky wouldn't act the way he does, then I wouldn't get mad and blow up. If so-and-so didn't do this, I don't have a problem. I don't need to fix anything. You need to fix something. That's called denial. Every one of us deal with personality issues in our life. And before we're able to even change, before we even know that we need to change, we have to come to a realization about that problem in our life. Isn't that true? Well, the first part of this is called realize I'm not God. And that, you think that, well, that's dumb. That's dumb. Realize I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and my life is unmanageable. But realize I'm not God. I know I'm not God. You know, I know that mentally we know that we're not God. But many times when we choose to do it our way, not God's way. When we choose to do it our way, I don't need help. I don't need the Bible. I got this under control. I know I'm a self-made man. You know what you're saying? You're saying I'm God in my own life. Let me say this. Irregardless of what your problem is, drugs, alcohol, whatever, until we learn to let God do what He wants to in our life, we will never reach our full potential as human beings. We are not self-sufficient. There is no such thing as a self-made man. There are things that happen in your life that you don't even realize. It's God at work trying to bless you. And when you take credit for that thing in your life, you're saying, I'm my own God. I don't need that. I don't need that advice. I don't need that understanding. I don't need that. I can handle it. The I. You know what got Lucifer in trouble? We call it the seven I wills. He says, I will do this, and I will do that, and I will do this, and I will do that. I will be like the Most High. You know what he said? I want to be God. And we all have that same tendency in our life that we want to be in control of our life. We don't like people telling us what to do. We don't like to read a book called the Bible. When it gets on our toes, we don't like to read that. And I'm talking about the natural man. I'm not talking about when we come into Christ and we're renewing our mind. Yeah. The best way to be in control is to realize, first of all, that you're not in control. That's what it begins with. Before you come to Christ, you think that you're in control of your life. But you really are not. Sin is in control of your life. And until you realize that you are under the power of sin, and that sin is dictating your life, you can't be free. You're your own God. You're making your own choices, your own decisions. You would love to have God's blessing, but you don't want to do things His way. You want to do them your way. We're stubborn. We're prideful. So many ways. And all that equates to is that I am my own God. So a turnaround begins when you begin to realize, listen, I'm not God. I'm not really in control of my life. I need help. And let me say, God is always there to help us. But let me tell you, help is His way, not our way. If we had our way, we would have His blessing, but we would still want to do it our way. That's not the way that it works. Did you know that when you make Jesus Lord, you give your life away? You give your life away. You get off the throne of your own heart and you put Jesus in control of your life. You say, well, now that sounds like bondage to me. No, that's freedom. That's freedom. Because God has something good for you. He said something in Jeremiah. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. They're plans that will bless you and not hurt you. But until you realize that you can't control it yourself, your life is a dead end. Every one of us have had to come to that realization. And, you know, this is an ongoing process. Sometimes you need to realize that you're not God. Because there are times that we try to take control back over. Well, I know you said that, Lord, but I don't want to do that. Here's what I want to do. Uh-oh. What are we doing? Are we taking God off the throne and we're putting ourselves back on the throne of our hearts? Who knows best? Remember the old TV show? I'm dating myself now because I really remember when this came out. Father knows best. Some of you say, huh? I never heard of that. Well, get on the... I don't know if it comes on the... What is that TV Land? I don't know if Father Knows Best comes on TV Land or not. But that's an old show, Father Knows Best. And that's true. Heavenly Father does know best. He knows better than you know. You can't see the future. You can't even see the past in its fullness. You don't know the choices that you've made in your past that have predicted your future. But God knows your past, He knows your present, and He knows your future. And He is still able to turn things around and bless you the way that He wants to. But listen, we have to realize I'm not God. I have to admit that I'm powerless to control my tendencies to do wrong, and my life is unmanageable. That's what I did when I made Jesus Lord. Step two is this. Here's the word E. Earnestly. Everybody say earnestly. This describes the attitude in which we have to do this. We could say the word diligently or earnestly. It has to do with the condition of the heart. Who determines the amount of the blessing that flows in your life? Who is the limiter? And who is the one that determines how much of it you can walk in? Take your finger, stick it right there, right in the middle of your chest, and you're pointing at the right person. Don't look at your spouse. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at your education. Don't look at anything else. This is the one that determines the height that I walk at or how low I walk. I'm the one that determines the blessing. And it has to do with the attitude of my heart. I have to be wholehearted and earnest about this thing of overcoming everything in my life that needs to be overcome. We were created on purpose. We were created for purpose. We are, every one of us are unique in our purpose. God designed you. He gave you your personality. He gave you your assignment. He gave you your ability. He gave you your inclinations. He gave you your personality. You don't like the way I act? God gave me this personality. So you ought to be more serious. I am serious. I just do it in a funny way. I'm very serious. I'm put together by God. I'm made for a purpose. I'm not an accident. I'm here on purpose. I'm in this earth on purpose. And I can realize my full potential in the things of God, in my life, in my family, in this church, in my daily walk, in what I'm supposed to do. But listen, it's up to me, and it is determined by my heart. You can choose to be a leader or a follower. And I believe that every one of us has an area that God wants us to lead in. It may be on the job, it may be in the family, it could be in the church, it could be in the community, it could be on the workplace. But every one of us has a place of influence. Because all leadership is influence. But what determines the height that we can walk in our leadership? Let me just share something with you. A lot of people always want to be the exception to the rule. If there are rules, then they want to make excuses why they can't live by the rule. They want to be the exception to the rule. True leaders want to be exceptional. We tend to make excuses why we cannot do what we're supposed to do. Well, I can't be on time. I can't study that way. I'm too busy. We want to be an exception. We want all of the blessings, but we want to be excused. We want to be an exception to the rule. When God is looking for people who will be exceptional. Is that you? Are you making excuses? Or do you earnestly, diligently? Okay, here's the rest of this statement. Earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me recover. Now, really what we're talking about here, Dennis, is the faith message. We're just stating it a little bit different. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who half-heartedly seek Him. What was that? A meh. Gong. What is the word? Earnestly, diligently, with the whole heart. Well, I'll come to church if I got time, or I'll be in a group if I don't have something else going. If this don't happen, then no. You don't understand. You are setting the limits for your for the blessing to flow in your life. You're setting the limits on which you can overcome the hurts and the habits and the hang-ups in your life. I have, over the years, I've pastored for almost 31 years now. Next month it'll be 31 years I will have had a church somewhere. This one, 20, how many? Coming up on 28, yeah, long time. In dealing with people, you see lots of things. And you see people who get serious about something, and then you see people who get complacent about things. And I have been in situations before where marriages are about to break up. The wife says, I'm tired of this. I want out. All of a sudden, the spouse, the husband, gets real deal. Before he was resistant. I don't want to go to church. I don't want that God stuff. Don't preach at me. Just, and all of a sudden they get real diligent. Oh, they come to church. They're carrying their Bible. They're saying, oh, can I learn? Can I do? What are they trying to do? They're trying to be real diligent about something. But another thing that I've seen that if things do work out, they have a tendency to go right back to where they were. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a lifestyle. There's a lot of people who will do anything they can to get rid of a habit, drugs, alcohol. And we see this a whole lot in the recovery ministries. Luke 4:18, John 3:16. They get in there and they do real well and they work it. Then they get back out there and they don't do the things that they learned to do while they were in there. And you know what they do? They go right back into the lifestyle. So what we're really talking about is a condition of the heart where this becomes a lifestyle to us, not a get-out-of-jail card. There's a lot of people that won't get out of jail cards. God is not... He'll get you out of jail. I'm figuratively speaking, okay? He'll get you out of jail. But if you do the same stupid stuff, is that plain enough? If you do the same stupid stuff that you did before, guess where you're going to be? Right back where you were. And worse. We have to have a change of heart. We have to earnestly... Okay, now let's get into this today. Earnestly believe that God exists. Number one, I'm not God. God exists. That's the beginning of faith. But that's not the end of faith, because the devil believes that God exists. I must believe that God exists. But what I believe about God is important also. And this is the second part of it. Number two, I matter to Him. Woo, that's a revelation. You know, a lot of people who go to church and a lot of people who are in the world, they think that God's mad at them. He's got a big old fly swat. I used to think this about God. He's a judge. And He's just waiting for you to mess up so He can mash you like a bug with His fly swat. You know, if God wanted to find fault with us, He wouldn't have to look very far, would He? Is anybody here perfect? If God wanted to find fault, because He knows your thoughts from afar off. He knows everything about you. He knows about every hair on your head and every hair that ain't on your head. He knows where that one went to that used to be there. He knows all about you. He knows the thought and the intent of your heart. You, the Bible says that you're naked. That's a good southern term, naked. Naked. You are naked and open in the eyes of Him with whom we have to deal. He knows everything about you. And if He wanted to find fault with you, He could. God's not killing you, you're killing yourself. Get off the throne, put Him on the throne, and realize that He is on your side. You matter to God. Now, you can be stupid and get in judgment if you want to. But that's not where God wants to head with you. He wants to bring you into a place that He can be glorified through you. And honestly, folks, this is the bottom line in all that we do, is to bring glory to God with our whole life. Not just what we do on Sunday, not what we do on Wednesday. This is the least of what you do that's spiritual. What really matters, what you do when you're on the job. The way that you pay your bills. The way that you treat people. The way that you interact in society. That's where you really show what your spiritual life is all about. Is it a struggle? Sometimes. Because people don't always act like we want them to. They don't always act right. I got mad the other day. I'm thinking, dear God, I'm smarter than that. I let somebody just aggravate the gizzard out of me, didn't I, Susie? I said, just aggravate me to no end. Wasn't Susie. And I thought, I know better than that. But if we're not careful, we get into ourselves. This is the way I'm going to do it. You do it my way. People don't always cooperate. Sometimes people are just stupid. They do dumb stuff. Sometimes I'm the one that acts stupid and do dumb stuff. Okay. Anyway. But we need to realize that God, that I matter to God. My life matters to God. Oh, my. And that He has the power to help me recover. Remember we talked about grace last week? Grace is God's willingness to use His power on your behalf. The grace of God is the power of God. And we can increase in grace by increasing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's hard for God to get His grace to you when you think He's mad at you. Because you're not open to receive it. And God does not jam things down our throat. You know one reason that we don't jam stuff down your throat here? Because God don't. There are churches that you go to where they're going to make you mind and behave. There's too many of you. I struggle making me behave. I got a lot to work on with me. Talking about looking in that mirror and seeing that image. I have to look at that guy every day. I think, you will behave today. You will follow God today. You will walk in love today. You will. I can't watch your life and make you behave. God doesn't jam things down our throat. As we open our lives to Him, grace will flood your life. God has the power of recovery over every hurt, habit, and hang up that we might have. We really do as a church need to be free, because as we get free, then we become more like Christ. As we become more like Christ, we become more the light of the world. And Jesus told His disciples one time, He says, you know what? I'm the light of the world. Then He turned around and looked at them and said, you're the light of the world. We're to reflect Him. And I can't reflect Him when I'm acting like me. I can't reflect Him when I'm mad. I can't reflect Him when I'm being cantankerous. I can't reflect Him when I allow hurt to dictate my life. I can't reflect Him when I allow bad habits to dictate my behavior. I can't reflect Him. I can't grow in Him when the hang-ups that are in my life overshadow everything I do. I cannot go forward. But listen, when I realize that I'm not God, I earnestly believe that God exists, that He cares about me, and that He has the power for me to overcome. Wow. There's a lot of freedom in that, isn't there? Okay. Number one. Let's break this down a little bit more. Number one, acknowledge God exists. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Bible says this, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. You know God's not trying to hide Himself. Even in nature, we can see God. Now, we don't worship nature, but even in the creation, creation is a reflection of the Creator. When you get up in the morning and you look out and you see a glorious sunrise, that is a reflection of your Father. When you see the beauty that's in nature, that is a reflection. It is clearly seen. God is not trying to hide. God is trying to reveal. Now, we know that God reveals Himself through His Word, but even His creation reflects His glory. Number two, we need to understand God's character. And there's one way that you can do that. Colossians 1:15 says, Christ is the visible expression of the invisible God. Jesus said to His disciples one time, you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. How much time did Jesus spend mad? Very little. He got mad one time and drove the money changers out. He hated hypocrisy. But Jesus showed us what the Father is really like. As you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you know, I want to challenge you. Read your Bible this year. You say that again? Read your Bible this year. There are ways to read your Bible. Read your Bible this year. As you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see Jesus, you need to say, you know what? That's what my Father's like. Jesus didn't come to do His own will. He came to do the will of Him who sent Him. He came to show us what God is like. And Jesus was always for people. Jesus did not turn away people. He didn't turn away people. Neither can we. Neither can we. Psalms 103. He is like a father to us, tender and sympathetic, for He knows we are made of dust. It's amazing how sometimes we're not honest with God. We think that we're hiding things from God. I wouldn't want to say that. I wouldn't want God to know. Guess what? He knows. He knows. You might as well be real. You know one thing that He realizes about you? You're dirt. Is that a good way to say it? You're dirt. Sometimes we expect perfection out of other people. Sometimes we expect perfection out of ourselves. But God knows you're just dirt. Now that's not a put down. He just knows what your frame is. He knows what your tendency is. He's like a father to us, and He's sympathetic because they're dirt. Now He can help us. He can raise us up out of that and do something bigger than our life. But you know, a lot of times when we fail, our tendency is to run away. What did Adam do in the garden when he sinned? He hid himself. Who was he trying to hide from? God. Can you hide from God? You know, David said one time, where can I go to get away from your spirit? He said, if I go to the highest heaven, you're there. If I go to the lowest hell, you're there. Every time I go somewhere, I'm always running into you. God likes you. God is your Father. He is sympathetic. You can't get away from Him. You run away from Him, you run into Him. Quit running away from God. Run to God when you mess up. Now, you're supposed to say, well, you're supposed to tell us not to mess up. I know you dirt too. Okay? No, we all mess up, don't we? We're not perfect. But we have a perfect redemption. We have a perfect covenant. We have a perfect salvation that when we do mess up, what do? We run to that covenant. We plead the blood. We ask forgiveness. If we need to make restitution, we make restitution. God restores us to our sense of righteousness. We can walk perfect before God if we walk in His covenant. But you won't do that in your strength. You'll have to do that in His. And that's where He wants you to be. So when you mess up, fess up. You mess up, fess up. You mess up, run to God. Don't run away from God. Because He is a Father to us, and He is sympathetic. Now, let's look at the last one. Number 3. Accept God's offer to help you. Accept His offer to help you. You've realized that you can't do it. You can't overcome. His offer is there. What do we have to do? We have to accept it. Is it, you know, I've noticed this in myself. And I've had other people say, I heard Dennis say this in Sunday school the other day. It's real easy to give to somebody else, but it seems to be hard to receive from somebody else. Somebody wants to give us, oh, you don't need to do that. We don't need to be that way. There's two sides of the laws of the kingdom. One is sowing, the other is reaping. One is giving, the other one is receiving. And God gave His Son so that He could receive us. But listen, we still have to be willing to accept what God is wanting to do in our life. We really do. We need to be able to accept God's offer to help us. Philippians 2:13 says, "For God is at work within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve His purpose." God is all about purpose. God is all about your purpose. God will not get off your purpose. Most people die. Most Christians die and never do what they're supposed to do. They never realize their purpose. Isn't that a sad testimony? Isn't that a sad testimony compared to the sacrifice that the Son of God made that we might have freedom, that we might be free, that we might bring glory to God, and yet we stumble through life and never realize His purpose? To have lived and died and never sang your song, never realized your purpose, it's a waste and it's a shame. And that doesn't need to happen. I need to preach on this side a little while. That don't need to happen to us. We need to accept God's offer to help us, because God is always at work within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve His purpose. Okay, how do we plug into God's power? This is where the faith comes in. Two words: believe and receive. Say that with me. Believe and receive. That's simple, but it's deep. Believe and receive. It says in Mark 11:24, "I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours." Well, when you pray in line with the will of God and the Word of God, and you believe that you receive it, you believe it and you receive it, the Bible guarantees that it will be ours. God wants you to be free. God wants you to be healed of your hurts, habits, and hang-ups. He wants you to be free. I love Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to close with this. "When you go through the deep waters and great troubles, I will be with you. You won't drown. Do you want a promise? You won't drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you won't be burned up. You've got promises. I said, you've got promises. Promises of success. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come at this time. We're going to pray. We're going to open this up if you have a need today that you need to pray about. Maybe it has something to do with this message. Maybe you need to make Jesus Lord today. Maybe there are some things that you need to be earnest about. Maybe you've been a flip-floppy Christian. Just flip-flop. In and out and up and down. Hot and cold. But you really need to get earnest about some things today. God wants to do a work in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can be whole. That we can be healed of our hurts and habits and hang-ups. And Lord God, it's not always just a single prayer, but it's a process that we go through, that we choose certain things, certain laws of your kingdom that we operate. We acknowledge today that you are God, and we're not. We earnestly believe in you, that you care for us, and that you have the power to make us whole. I thank you in Jesus' name. If you're here, you need prayer for anything related to this message today or any other thing that you need prayer about, it's open. Would you come? If you need healing in your body, if you need wisdom, insight, whatever it is you need today, this is our prayer time. Come. Sometimes we have to lay our pride aside to receive from God. I don't want people to know that I have a need. They already know. They already see it. You might as well get real. God's dealing with you.